We've reached a fork in the road with the Brandon Ayuk and Jaden Daniels and Washington Commanders situation. Situation is the best way that I could describe it. I'm Denton Day. It's D-Day in D.C. live and local on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. More on that situation coming up in a few moments. I hope everybody was safe last night. I know plans in the city didn't exactly go according to plan, but I am curious if there was anybody who was up relatively early that was on the National Mall yesterday. I'm very curious your experience. The good, the bad, the ugly. Could you breathe after all of the fireworks went off because of the amount of smoke that the fireworks brought? I'd love to know what your experience was on the National Mall yesterday. If you were there, give me a call, 800-636-1067. I did not go. I was saying, hey, you know what? Not for me. We also got a new puppy. Didn't know how he does with fireworks. So we were just like, let's chill with the puppy. He actually ended up doing fine. He didn't care at all. But I was not at the National Mall. My producer in our DC studios is the great Wes Clark. Wes, you were not. Were you at the National Mall yesterday?
I was
watching fireworks.
No, I was not. But my buddy, his apartment in Arlington looked right over DC, and we got to see pretty much the majority of the flyovers.
That's the way to do it. When you can get yourself an apartment where you can see all of the things that are happening without dealing with the madness and the chaos, the mayhem that involves going to the places. Because I saw some of the things on social media, and that didn't paint the entire picture, I'm sure, of what the event was like. But it looked like it was a whole lot of chaos and miscommunication and confusion and not getting people in the right spot after they had to be evacuated and all these things, right? It was a very, very odd watching it from social media experience. So I'd be curious if anybody was there. How did that go? So before we do get to the Jaden Daniels and the Brandon Ayuk stuff, there is positive news. The Nationals have two All-Stars. C.J. Abrams is going to be starting at shortstop for the National League. This was announced late yesterday. James Wood is a reserve in the outfield. I feel like James Wood should be starting as well, but the Nats only two games over 500, and the outfield in particular is filled with megastars in the National League. But it's a great deal that C.J. Abrams is starting, and it's the first time the Nats have had a starter in an All-Star game in what feels like an eternity. It's been about 8 years, I think, is the official count. You know, Max Scherzer was a routine starter. Juan Soto was a routine starter. So not 8 years, because Soto was here 4, 5, 6 years ago. But it's been a while since they've had a starter in the National League, for the National League, in the All-Star game. So that's a really, really huge deal. And I wanted to make sure that we started the program talking about that and talking about the goodness of something like that, rather than just jumping into the debacle of Brandon Ayuk and his latest social media post. I think you'll get another, at least one other National in the All-Star game when everything is said and done. You know, you oftentimes you'll see the rosters and then somebody will get hurt, they'll decide not to play for whatever reason, and that opens up a spot that then somebody can come and take. So I do have a feeling that you'll get at least three Nationals in the All-Star game by the time we get to the All-Star game. They lost to the Pirates yesterday in really, really a tough matchup. The pitching situation was not a good one. Cade Cavalli, though, is scheduled to pitch today for the Nationals. Now, I know what you're thinking, and I'll help you with this. He was involved in the brawl scuffle with Wilson Contreras just a few days ago. He was suspended for 7 games. It has not been 7 games since that event took place. He's appealing the suspension. And what happens when you appeal the suspension is you're allowed to play. So unless the MLB makes a decision between now and first pitch, Cade Cavalli is scheduled to take the mound for the Nationals today in the final game of the series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. That should be a big story to see how he performs, and I think you'll get a lot of eyes that maybe aren't watching a Nationals Pirates game on a Sunday when everybody's in action. I think you'll get a little bit more attention because of how much attention he has gotten over the last few days. Now let's get into the Brandon Ayuk and the Jaden Daniels stuff. I'm Denton Day, D-Day in D.C., at the Denton Day on Twitter. We got more in the drama that has been Brandon Ayuk and his offseason, and we've officially reached a little bit of a fork in the road, at least as far as I'm concerned, because I've always been in the camp of pro Brandon Ayuk to DC. I think the talent warrants some of the goofiness on social media, and largely because a lot of the goofiness on social media is nothing more than goofiness on social media. If you are a smart human being and does not live on the internet, I live on the internet. I grew up with this damn thing. I grew up with Instagram. They got me. I'm hooked. I'm addicted to the damn thing. I live on the internet. If you don't live on the internet, you probably have no idea what's happening. And that's a very positive thing, because you could be dealing with somebody where everyone knows what's happening because it's something that goes through the legal system and is something that legitimately is a big time, massive story with real repercussions. I've never really looked at the Ayuk thing as that. I think it's a guy that's bored on social media. I've questioned a little bit of his decision making, certainly, as I think most people have, because he's not exactly batting 1,000 if you were running a PR company. But yesterday was just a little different because he, for the first time, targeted Jaden Daniels. For the first time, he really mentioned Jaden Daniels. Now, this stems from a video that went viral a few days prior. Jaden Daniels was at a World Cup match, which I was thrilled with because it happened to be the same day as that Michael Rubin all-white party, and it made me so happy that my quarterback was not at the Michael Rubin all-white party. Little bummed that Trae Young was. It's okay. It's fine. But that Michael Rubin all-white party is weird. Like, really, really weird. So the fact that Jaden Daniels was at a soccer match and not that made me happy. But we got a video of presumably a 49er fan talking and yelling at Jaden Daniels and effectively cussing Brandon Ayuk out through Jaden Daniels. And Jaden Daniels is laughing at the thing. He laughs at it and then he kind of walks back into his suite away from the camera. It's about 13 seconds. That's it. Can't play it on air because it'll literally just be a bunch of beeps. It's just him basically saying, we don't like F Brandon Ayuk this, F Brandon Ayuk that. And it's fine, right? Jaden Daniels walks away, whatever. Brandon Ayuk seemingly didn't like that. He took to social media. This is Brandon Ayuk on his Instagram yesterday, late into the afternoon, kind of going at Jaden Daniels.
Fry gonna text me talking about something. You on my team now. You follow my rules. Boy, I'm a grown-ass man, boy. You gonna have to start running behind your mama, and I might believe what you're talking about. But until then,
mm-mm. So that's Brandon Ayuk going at Jaden Daniels. I'm sure this is a bit. I am positive that these two guys are texting back and forth during the whole process. I'm sure that these two guys are texting back and forth when the video went viral of a scorned 49er fan yelling at Jaden Daniels. So I'm sure that this is some sort of a bit. What I do not know is why it is taking place publicly. And that is where I'm starting to have a little bit of an issue with this. Because in the entire Brandon Ayuk social media drama, he had pretty much left everybody out of it. It was him versus the 49ers. And that's a really easy fight for me to side with. I don't like the 49ers. I don't give a damn about the 49ers. I have no affiliation to the 49ers. Kyle Shanahan feels like a little bit of a weirdo as far as I'm concerned. You know, there's a lot of people in our market that like Kyle Shanahan because they covered the team in 2012 and they were very much pro Shanahan, anti Robert Griffin III. If you have a lot of information about that time period, most of you would be that way as well, if you're not already. So there's a lot of people that like Shanahan in the market. And from a football X's and O's standpoint, I kind of like Kyle Shanahan. I think he does some really impressive things. With that said, I have not ever heard anybody accuse him of being a jolly fellow. I have not ever heard anybody accuse Kyle Shanahan of being a great guy to work with or a really nice dude. Not his bag. Really good at football, kind of an a-hole. So I can understand why Brandon Ayuk would be picking a fight with Kyle Shanahan, and I can side with that because this guy's going to come eventually play for our team. But when you bring the quarterback into this, everyone knows that Ayuk is going to come here or was planning on coming here. Everyone has known that is the pipeline. That is the correlation. He was not going to do everything that he was doing on social media to then go sign with the Cleveland Browns, who were rumored to trade for him when he had the initial contract dispute. He was not going to do all of this and then go sign with the New England Patriots or the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those were the other three or two teams. It was those three teams in Washington when he had the initial contract dispute, when he was doing the podcast tour and when he brought Jane Daniels with him to go do the Pivot podcast a few years ago. And Jane's like sitting in the corner as Ayuk is getting interviewed by Ryan Clark and Fred Taylor and Channing Crowder and not really saying anything. By the way, I hated that podcast because he got up there like he was going to say something and then he didn't say anything. Didn't like that at all. But there's never been a doubt where he is going, where he's going to sign. It's always, though, been about him versus them. So bringing Jaden into, now firmly, he is a character in the social media drama. We knew he existed in the universe, but he is now firmly a character in the drama. You have canonized Jaden Daniels into this very weird Instagram world that Brandon Ayuk has been living in now for a number of months. And you're going at him. And again, if it's a bit, it's boys being boys. It's the fellas. Look, I roast my friends. You roast your friends. This is not new. We understand how we operate. Group chats go crazy. All of that is a normal thing, relatively speaking, especially for people in this age demographic. If you're in your 50s, I don't know if you guys are still roasting each other. If you are, let me know. But in this age demographic, like, this is a pretty normal thing to do behind closed doors. But bringing it publicly is where now I'm like, all right, so what is the goal here? Because the roasting back and forth of each other is fine. But what is the goal of doing this publicly? Or is it just everything's public? Are we just, have we officially hit the mark where everything that comes to Brandon Ayuk's mind is going to be public? Because I never felt that way before. As much as we have dug into what his representation is, who his representation is, who it is, it isn't, everything did feel relatively calculated. You can disagree as to whether or not the calculation worked, but everything felt pretty calculated because I don't think that Brandon Ayuk's a video editor. And a lot of the videos that he was posting were edited. So there was somebody that was working with him throughout this entire process. Now, the video that we played, the audio that you heard, there was no edits there. That was literally him picking up the phone, going selfie mode, and just kind of ranting into the camera for about 20 seconds. But it feels like we're veering off course a little bit. I want Brandon Ayuk here because he makes the football team better. And I was always of the belief that once he got here, the social media stuff was going to pause. It was going to stop. He was not going to be constantly doing this. It was not like after one bad game in week four, he was going to get on social media and bark up a storm. Now, I did plan on him getting on social media and barking up a storm after the 49ers game. In fact, that one was circled on the calendar, the game itself, and then the Tuesday, that game's played on a Monday, and then the Tuesday, assuming that Ayuk played well, assuming that Washington won the game, which I have high expectations for the Commanders this season anyway, so my expectation was that they were going to win the game with or without Brandon Ayuk at this point, if we're being honest. But I knew there was going to be something on social media then. Now I'm starting to get a little bit worried that just everything's going to be out there, and I don't need everything out there. Social media is fun now. In October, I don't need it. You don't need it in October. We don't need the excess storylines. Football is story enough in the month of October. You know, once the season starts, the games are good. We can talk about the games 7 days a week on this channel. We can talk about the games. We can talk about press conferences. Like, I want those stories. I don't need the unnecessary with jumping on social media. And now I'm a little worried that there's not really going to be a pause here. That it's fun in its games, but the fun in the games coming out publicly, you can have fun privately. We don't need to see all of this. So I don't understand what the goal was here. I did see a segment of people on Twitter kind of arguing, saying, well, this was to prove that he really wanted out of San Francisco. This is like the final nail in the coffin. Did we need that? We've known that for months. He's been very clear about his position for months on how he feels about the 49ers. I don't know that we needed anything else. Again, I don't think anybody else was going to be rushing to sign Brandon Ayuk. So if this was, well, this is to prove to everyone else, don't sign me when I get released. No one was going to march up there and be like, hey, we're ready to give you a big contract. Cleveland wasn't going to do it. New England's not going to do it. Pittsburgh is not going to do it. He is going to walk to Washington. It feels like he's kind of already here, if we're being honest. One of the videos he posted last week looked like he was around the Great Falls, Potomac area. So he's not going to be a far walk. But he was always going to be Ayuk to Washington, which means you didn't need this. And that's why I'm confused. I'd love your thoughts. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. What did you think of the latest Brandon Ayuk video? Does that impact the way that you feel about him in terms of landing in Washington? We'll take some of your calls when we get back. You can tweet me as well at @DDentonDay. I'm Denton Day, D-Day in D.C. on a Sunday on 106.7 The Fan. It's D-Day in D.C., Denton Day on 106.7 The Fan. Team 980, we're simulcast on the Odyssey app. You can tweet me at The Denton Day. We're currently taking your calls, 800-636-1067. What did you think about the latest Brandon Ayuk video that seemed targeted at Jaden Daniels? Was it fun and games? Is there more to it that we are potentially missing? This was a video that Brandon Ayuk had posted after, in response to Jaden Daniels walking away from a fan who was cussing out Brandon Ayuk. He was at a soccer match over the weekend. A fan put a phone in Jaden's face from the stands to the suite. It's not like they were eye to eye. From the stands to his suite, and he was yelling a bunch of stuff about Brandon Ayuk, saying don't throw it to him, F him, F this, F that, all these different things. Jaden Daniels did what he normally does, which is he laughed and walked away, didn't pay it no mind. Brandon Ayuk didn't like that. What do you think about the situation and the latest drama? 800-636-1067. Reggie is in D.C. Reggie, you're kicking us off on the program on a Sunday. What's going on?
What's going on, Denton? Listen, man, the part you missed on the response was he posted first. He said, what is funny, little N, turn up your savage. So that's the first response that he did to Jaden, and then, you know, put at Jaden 5, whatever Jaden handle is. I was bring Brandon Ayuk in no matter under what, that doesn't matter. Any means necessary, bring him in. Now, yeah, I don't want him in the locker room. You can, that, okay, 32 quarterbacks, right? Yeah, if you, a DB, he will say something. Maybe a wide receiver, definitely a wide receiver would say something. A linebacker, defensive player, more than likely would say something. You can't name one quarterback, I don't care who it is, and I don't care who the receiver is, that if you put them in that position, they will respond. Because it's a lose-lose. So why would you expect your quarterback? If it's another wide receiver, yeah, you could probably get back, go back and forth, have a little banter with the, you know, with the fan or whatever. No quarterback is going to respond. So why would you even put that out there at your air quote, supposed to be best friend? This is supposed to be my dude. So if I did have an issue, remember, this is my best friend, according to, you know, we're good friends, whatever the description is. I'm calling you. Man, why you ain't say nothing? Come on, man. You know Brandon. But yeah, you know I can't say nothing. Man, the media going to take it all out of context, blah, blah, blah. Man, don't trip off that.
It's a fan, too. Like, it's not like he got asked about it in an interview.
Exactly.
It's a fan.
No, something is off. Didn't you and I, because you started off to say you wanted him here. I was with you. Something is off, man. You cannot go on social media and throw the dude that's probably your biggest cheerleader, maybe outside of Adam Peters in the, you know, in the organization. Jaden unfollowed him. He unfollowed Jaden. Nah, man, this is more than just, you know, little good-natured ribbing and, you know, you're joning on each other. And to answer your questions, yes, I'm 50 and I still joan on my boys. So this is a little different, man. You unfollowed me? I unfollowed you? Nah, man. We can't have it, man.
Yeah.
Can't have it.
Reggie, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate the call. All right, buddy. Good stuff. I feel like such an idiot. I'm going to reveal this because this is all about being candid. I have been like checking on the hour to see if they have followed each other back. I feel like I'm back in high school. I'm walking the hallways.
That's
of
what I'm
high
thinking.
School in South
it's Ryan. High school, dude.
It's so bad. I'm like, did they the follow each bit. Other back? I mean, the bit is so bad. But Reggie brings up a really good point. What is he expecting Jaden to do? Like, if all is fair and a fan puts a camera in the face of the quarter, what is he expecting to do? Like, do you think Jaden's going to yell and cuss back at the fan? How does that work? It's not his personality, but also, I don't want my quarterback yelling and cussing at a fan. He actually did what he was supposed to do. He laughed at it, didn't really pay a whole lot of mind, and just walked away. Like, that's actually 101 how I would like a quarterback to handle a situation like that, and he did it perfectly. I mean, I wonder if the roles were reversed. And again, I still feel like this is somewhat of a bit between these two guys. I just don't love that it's kind of boiled over publicly. I don't think that was necessary. But would Brandon Ayuk do anything differently if he was in the other position? Like, if someone walked up to him, which we haven't seen him out here publicly in what feels like forever, but if he was out publicly, let's just say he's in One Loudoun, right? He's wandering around. He's going to South Block. Maybe Brandon Ayuk likes South Block. If he doesn't, he should. Everybody likes South Block. Maybe he's wandering around to South Block in One Loudoun, and somebody runs up and puts a camera in his face and starts cussing out Jaden Daniels. What is he going to do? He's probably going to walk into South Block. Like, maybe he kind of pushes the person because that's an eye-to-eye situation and not like a regular seat to a suite where Jaden has the high ground and he can literally just walk away and move out of the camera space. But I just don't understand what he was expecting Jaden Daniels to do in a scenario like that, if he is actually heated about it. Again, I think it's partially a bit, it's just a silly bit, and not like the good kind of silly, like a legitimately why is this happening kind of bit. Bill is in Virginia. Bill, you're on 106.7 The Fan with Denton Day. What's going on?
I think you got to fast forward 6 months or 8 months and look back on this, right? So you sign him, let's say, and he becomes a lunatic, which it looks like he is. And now you look back and you say, oh, were there any signs that he might have had a problem? Oh, my God, you're right. Well, how did we miss that? I mean, it's the most embarrassing thing in the world. And I think to some extent, if you're Peters and you're Josh Harris and you're trying to change the credibility of the organization from the Snyder era, you just got to look and say, I see how this is going to play out, and I'm not going to be made to look like an absolute buffoon because of it.
Yeah, it's a great point that you bring up, Bill. You know, it's kind of on brand. So I'm not like a massive movie guy, right? But like The Odyssey is coming out. Big deal, right? Big time movie. This is not exactly a Trojan horse situation. Like, if he comes in here and he starts acting a fool, you can't exactly be like, oh my God, I didn't see this one coming. Like, you have had months of buildup to be like, actually, he has given us all of the signs. There were many of flags. Not a lot of them were green. There have been many of flags to suggest that he might get a little sideways in the locker room. I have always, like, I'm still of the belief that he is a good football player. I have, when it comes to the knee injury, I have not ever bought into this idea that he can't play football anymore. I think he can. It's been a while, but I think he can still be a good football player on a good team, especially if he's playing opposite of Terry McLaurin, because that's always been like the big thing. He's coming in being probably 1B to start on a heavily, heavily incentive-laden contract. Small contract. Hey, if you ball out, you're going to get paid a lot, and then we can kind of redo this. I've never thought it was going to be a one-year deal either, by the way. I always thought it was going to be a two-year deal that's heavily incentive-laden that gives Washington some leverage. So if he does ball out, they have then the opportunity to sign him to an extension rather than let him hit the open market. Not that I think he would want to leave, but anyway. You have now a lot of signs of like, this could be really weird. There's a lot of stuff we don't know, I'm sure. Like, there's a lot of stuff about his character that we don't know, and there's stuff that Adam Peters knows that we don't know. But we do know a lot of things now because he constantly posts.
Yeah, I just think the risk to the organization of looking just colossally stupid is now part of the equation, right? And maybe he could play football or not, but I just assume see him sign in Dallas to somebody else and watch the circus from afar.
This does kind of feel like a Dallas signing. Bill, I appreciate the call, man. Really, really good stuff. I have always hoped that we would not ever revert to when we were constantly looking stupid with decisions, because all of us, if you're a fan of the team, have suffered through decades of being the team that looks stupid on a regular basis. So I have not wanted to be that. But the Ayuk stuff is, it's going to teach us a lot about the thought process of the front office when it comes to valuing talent versus personality. And maybe there's like a 1% chance, but maybe behind closed doors, he's like the perfect citizen. I wouldn't put my money on that given what's taken place on social media. I don't think that means he's an awful person, but I think that there is some stuff there that need to evaluate.
Couldn't this be a reflection of Jaden Daniels as well if IU comes into the organization and just is chaos?
If he comes in as chaos, I think it is. At least a little bit. Now, I'll take a bullet for Jayden Daniels. I don't care. He is my quarterback. I will die on the sword with him if he is dying on the sword. Like, I will take the bullet for Jayden Daniels. I have no issue with that. And we all know that you have some friends. We all have some friends that you really ride for and you really love, but they might be a little questionable, right? They make some decisions where you're like, I wouldn't have done that. And that does feel like, at times, maybe the relationship there, because, like, Jayden is not a big social media guy. If you scroll kind of like up and down, now he did respond a little bit, but he responded with a Kevin Durant double thumbs down picture after the initial video from Brandon Ayuk. But that's really all that he's played into this. Like, he was involved in that video. He did the double thumbs down. He's not really on social media, which is great because most guys his age are very heavily on social media. He's really not. I mean, most of his posts are ads. It's like Celsius stuff or stuff that he's sponsored with or partnering with, which is fine. Like, that's exactly how I want my quarterback to act on social media. Post some highlights during the season when you guys are playing well. And then during the off season, I'm partnering with this brand. I'm really supportive of this brand. That's like the perfect social media usage as far as I'm concerned. You're seeing his personality a little bit more on the Commanders social media stuff. They're showing him a lot more than they have been, it feels like, the past two seasons. But other than that, he's not really on social media, which is awesome. How do you feel about Brandon Ayuk? Are you still on board with him? If you were on board with him, are you totally off him? Time, ready, let's go sign Stephon Diggs. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We take some more of your phone calls when we get back. Al Galdi is going to join us at 11 a.m., talk a little bit of the Brandon Ayuk situation, talk a little bit about the Nationals. C.J. Abrams, starter in the All-Star game for the National League. James Wood, a reserve. So big day for the Nationals yesterday in spite of the loss. They're also in action again today, so we'll talk with Al Galdi about that coming up at 11. But more of your phone calls, 800-636-1067. It's D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. It's D-Day in D.C., 106.7 The Fan, Team 980. We're simulcast on the Odyssey app as well. Al Galdi is going to join us in about 20 minutes here on the program. Brandon Ayuk had taken to Twitter again yesterday, called out the quarterback, and I take no pride in what I'm about to say, Wes. I need that to be on record because it makes me feel like a sleuth.
Writing it down, don't worry.
Like a TMZer.
Yeah.
But I've gone a little bit harder on this than I would like to. So Jayden Daniels' mom posted an Instagram story. God, I can't believe I'm doing this, but we're going to do it anyway. She posted an Instagram story. Happy 4th of July. Nothing even in consideration to what has happened with her son and the alleged friend of her son. Maybe that's in question. I don't know. But you know how now you can comment on Instagram stories. So there's this feature, if you're not familiar with Instagram, where if you post a story, you can leave a comment on the story. The comment shows up publicly, right? So, like, you can comment in a way where it goes privately to somebody in, like, the form of a DM, or you can comment and it shows up publicly. And there was a comment that showed up publicly on Jayden Daniels' mom's Instagram story for the 4th of July that was praising her for not dealing with the shenanigans that have taken place over the last 24 hours. And it's just there. Like, if she really wanted to, she could have deleted it, but she didn't. It's there. So there's now layers to the story. You think I'm done there? God, I wish I was. I'm not. Brandon Ayuk follows 4 people on Instagram. One of them is his wife. So I thought, well, maybe Jayden is still following the wife. They're probably friends. They don't follow each other either. So this could be like a whole familial breakdown to where everyone is going their separate ways. I don't know. The fact that I am bringing this up on radio is in itself ridiculous. And it speaks to the unbelievable high school nature of this. I did, though, realize that Brandon Ayuk and I got married in the same suit, you know.
No
white
way.
Suit, black lapel. It's become a very popular way to get married with the black pants. It looks very good, I must admit. He looks good in it. I looked good in it. So everyone looks good in that style of suit. So, you know.
Do we know that Jayden Daniels was following Brandon Ayuk's wife?
I don't for sure, but he did like the picture of them announcing the wedding or the wedding photos, which is how I realized that Brandon Ayuk and I got married in the same suit. I really love that suit, by the way. It actually looks very, very good. So I like now I'm getting way too deep into the weeds, and all of this shouldn't matter at all. It really should just be Jaden and Ayuk. But this is because they're getting to this point, and we're talking about followers on Instagram. The natural path as someone that grew up in the age of the internet is to then go really down the rabbit hole of what has taken place. The most embarrassing thing that could happen in this entire thing is that the Commanders are just done with him. Like, if you look at this thing from a whole, right, we had a caller on in our previous segment, and the phone lines are open, 800-636-1067, as is my Twitter, at the Denton Day. If you look at this from a broad perspective, our caller said, look at this 6 months from now. If you just look at the last 6 months and the way that Brandon Ayuk has behaved on social media, it's two things are very clear. He doesn't like the 49ers. Can't blame him. He really likes Washington. Can't blame him. Washington is an organization moving in the right direction. So I could understand why you would want to come and play here, though it's largely based off of Jaden Daniels, right? And maybe Adam Peters, but if we're being honest, it's Jaden Daniels. The most embarrassing thing that could happen is that he does everything that he has done over the last 4 or 5 months publicly on social media, and he has gone so far and has taken it too far, and Washington says, we're good. So he's doing all this stuff, including the really funny one where he's like doing promo for the team, commanders.com, get your tickets. Like, that was funny to me. Like, that's actually a great bit if he's just promoting another team's tickets. Like, that's hilarious. But he does doing all that stuff, and then for them to be like, no, we're actually good. You know who we really like? We actually like Stephon Diggs. We like him a lot more. So we're gonna sign him. They don't have enough. I don't think they're going to sign both of them. It's one or the other or neither at this point. And it would be terrible for Ayuk if they're just like, yeah, we're going to go with Diggs. We prefer Diggs over Ayuk. And the Ayuk social media stuff has gotten so out of control that many people forget that Stephon Diggs was literally under fire a little over a year ago for doing allegedly, potentially, Molly and Coke on a boat with Cardi B on camera. Like, well,
don't you think they prefer Diggs either way? You're talking about 1,000 yards last year. Ayuk hasn't played.
So that's an interesting question. I think Diggs, for what they have now, might not be as appealing because theoretically you have your slot guy with Williams. Now, Diggs is obviously better than Antonio Williams is right now. I don't think anyone that's going to argue differently.
Well, you can't.
Argue with a wall. He hasn't played. So like Diggs comes in and is better now, but he's also been available to be signed. Hold on. You are the guy that's done a lot of this reporting, right? You're the one that's been talking or been around Diggs.
Yes.
He wants to be here.
Yeah.
He's made that pretty clear.
Yep. I got to interview him when he was at Hotel Zena doing his foundation. So I got to talk to him. He wants to be here. I mean, he wants to be in the DMV. There's been some reports about the Ravens, but I think the Commanders is what he was looking for.
And I think he grew up. He grew up in Bethesda. But I thought he grew up a Redskins fan.
I
think there's that emotional tie to it as well. But knowing that piece of information, he wants to be here. If they really wanted him here, I think they would have signed him. Not to say they don't want him. If the Ayuk thing doesn't work, I think they go to Diggs and say, hey, you know what? We screwed up. We want you to come play with Jaden Daniels. Jaden's going to be one of the best quarterbacks that you've played with. And that's saying something because he's played with a bunch of really, really good ones. Come have fun. You're not going to be asked to do a ton. Like last year, he was wide receiver one in New England, and he played really, really well. I thought, you know, he helped elevate Drake May in a way that would be fun to see him come here and play opposite of Terry McLaurin. And he would immediately be the best player that Terry has ever played opposite of because Terry is just, he's been on an island for what feels like forever
right. When
it comes to wide receiver help here. But I still think that has always been the most confusing puzzle piece to try and place in this because he wants to be here. He can still play at a high level, and he's not going to be very expensive, and they have not signed him, seemingly because they are waiting for Brandon Ayuk to hit the open market and then sign him up immediately.
And he's in the area.
Yeah, he's already here.
Diggs has been in the area. He's working out at his alma mater, University of Maryland. This is where he wants to be. So that's why I do find it interesting because in terms of cap space, the Commanders have a lot of money.
Yeah, they could sign both.
That's what I'm saying. They could have both on their teams. on the team, and you're talking about McLaurin, Diggs, and Ayuk. That's a pretty good 1-2-3.
And that's a great 1-2-3. You take Antonio Williams in there because you're not going to cut the guy that you just drafted.
Of course.
And then it becomes a tough decision with, do we keep 5 versus 6 versus potentially 7? Because Antonio Williams can theoretically return punts. He did it when he was at Clemson. But Jalen Lane proved last year that he is really dynamic in the punt return game. Luke McCaffrey, before he got hurt, I have said this a number of different times, I thought he was on his way to being an all-pro kick returner because he was averaging like 32 yards a kick return, and eventually he was going to break one. So then the wide receiver room becomes really complicated with the guy that I've loved the most in being out there at mini camps and OTAs. Van Jefferson looks the part. He checks a lot of boxes. He doesn't have a massive track record of success in the NFL. He had one really good season in Los Angeles, and then a couple of his other years have been fine, but nothing like to really write home about. But he looks the part playing wide receiver. It'll be very interesting to get inside the thought process of Adam Peters. And I don't know that he's going to talk again. Maybe he talks before the beginning of the regular season, but I don't know that he's going to sit up in front of a microphone during training camp at all. So we're not going to get a huge amount into his thought process, but it's hard to pass up the idea of McLaurin, Ayuk, and Diggs purely from a football perspective. Yeah. The unfortunate reality is that there is more than just football when bringing those guys, particularly Ayuk at this point, into the fold. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Gotten a couple of tweets. We'll read those coming up here momentarily. Al Galdi joins us at 11 a.m. It's D-Day in D.C. on 106.7 The Fan. Al Galdi in 10 minutes here on 106.7 The Fan. You're listening to D-Day in D.C. at The Denton Day on Twitter. Some tweets from those that are listening. Commander Jacob says, I have no clue whether this is an act or not, in reference to the Brandon Ayuk and Jaden Daniels beef. Does not feel like the right word. Drama feels like a better word. I don't know either. I see people telling me it's an act. My brain suggests that maybe it's not an act. If it is an act, it's certainly not up for any awards at like the Oscars, the Emmys, the Tonys, whatever. It's not that good of an act. I don't understand what the... Usually when I watch television shows, movies, whatever, there's a plot, and then there's a central theme and a destination. Like, we have an end goal here with the story that is being told and all the drama that comes with the story that's being told. I don't know what the end goal in specific is of these two. It's not even these two. It's Brandon Ayuk going on to Instagram and dragging Jaden Daniels with him and then firing at the quarterback, making the low-hanging fruit of the mom joke. I mean, for the love of everything that's holy, the mom joke is so, so boring. God forbid the guy has a good relationship with his mom. God forbid his mom is an agent. I mean, Lord have mercy. Brandon Ayuk sounds like a Bears fan. I mean, did he get that off a Bears Reddit page? Jeez Louise. It was so low-hanging fruit. It wasn't even funny. So I don't know if this is an act either. If it is, it's not a very good one. I just don't understand what they're attempting to accomplish with the act. Don tweets me and says, excellent point about the Commanders front office. They do have a fail-safe option with Stephon Diggs, who checks every box. He grew up a Redskins fan. He says Redskins/Commanders. He grew up a Redskins fan. And started locally at Maryland. Diggs expressed interest in coming back home. Run, don't walk to sign him. And Diggs is available. They could sign him today, have him be ready for training camp, and then just run with Stephon Diggs, play him kind of outside, kind of inside with Antonio Williams, you know, potentially bouncing out. I actually do think Antonio Williams, once he gets acclimated to the NFL level, I do think I see him kind of similarly to the way that they see him, which is there is some outside potential with Antonio Williams. But you need to get there first. Like, I'm not just going to immediately put the rookie out of Clemson and say, hey, go play outside. Just go there immediately. But Diggs brings a level of talent to the offense in a year where the entire goal is get as many dynamic playmakers around Jaden Daniels as possible.
Yeah, I mean, and the veteran presence that Diggs obviously brings, and you're talking about a guy who can teach Antonio Williams for his future. Now, we talk about Brent Ayuk and his off-field issues. That's been an issue with Diggs. And I was actually his first public appearance since his court. But the thing is, it's kind of ongoing. And do you think the Commanders are looking at that as well?
I think you have to factor that in, and that's a great point, Wes. Now, the court situation, I think you're kind of in the clear with, because it turned out that he was in the right there, and there had been some stuff about the chef that came out kind of during and after that said, oh, no, she was very much in the wrong, and she was trying to get money out of Stephon Diggs. So the court situation, you got to feel okay with. The boat situation from last year, now, look, man, if you're on a boat with a bunch of very attractive women and Cardi B and somebody hands you a baggie with a bunch of powder in it, you're not going to say no to that sort of thing. But there were also cameras involved there. And I think that's one of the things where, you know, hindsight being 2020, you got to tell everybody that's on that boat, hey, no cameras. Like, we can't let, this is not for your social media. This is not to cloud chase. Like, we have real, I being Stephon Diggs, I have something that could really be lost if a stupid video gets out. Now, he didn't lose anything, and the Patriots, ironically, were very, very good to him about that. Mike Vrabel said we want to make good decisions off the field. God, yeah, that aged terribly. But I think you take into consideration that if you were going to sign Stephon Diggs, you would hope that he is, you know, learned from that, matured a little bit from that. He has some other stuff that's taken place over the course of his career. But I think if you sit down and you're not giving him a long-term deal, like the Patriots signed him to that like massive three-year, $80-something million, and then they got out of it after 1 year. You're not doing that if you're Washington. If you're going to sign Stephon Diggs, maybe you do something similar where it's a two-year deal that's incentive-laden, and it kind of gives you, as an organization, the benefit of getting that second year. So if he does play well, you can extend him and keep the thing going. But they have also kind of told us that they don't like paying old receivers a lot of money. That's what the entire theme of last offseason was. So I don't think they'll pay him a ton of money. And if he wants to be here and you feel like he can still play, which he clearly showed last year that he could, I don't understand why you would not sign him if the Ayuk thing has gone to a place where you as a front office are like, we're done. And if it isn't there, it's getting really, really close. And I love the talent. Like, I love the talent of Brandon Ayuk. If Brandon Ayuk did not do any of the social media stuff, I would want him here immediately, because I do think he provides something to the offense. I think he makes the team better from a football perspective, knowing that he is healthy, right? George Kittle flopped a little bit when he got on a Pardon My Take podcast and said that he saw this dude running 22 miles an hour and then stop on a dime, right? The knee feels like it's going to be fine. It's now the other stuff that is becoming so much of an issue that he can't stop. He can't help himself anymore. And that's what this is starting to look like. Initially, when it was him versus the 49ers, you know, eventually he was going to come out and tell his side of the story, whatever that side of the story was, because for a long time it was just the 49ers pumping out stuff to media members locally, nationally, whatever. It was just the 49ers putting out information about the disagreement and the issues that they had with Brandon Ayuk. Eventually, he was always going to tell his side of the story. This is not that anymore. I mean, this is just, he can't stop on social media. And if you're addicted to social media, you run the risk of some real problems being had. I'm Denton Day, D-Day in D.C. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. Al Galdi joins us next right here on 106.7 The Fan.